The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we're working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. Well, good evening, Abigail. That is a timely quote, isn't it?
It is.
For the topic that we're going to be covering. And you are just giddy with excitement over there.
I'm just geared up right
yes,
now.
Yes, you are.
I'm barely sitting in my chair.
She is so excited about our guest that we're going to be having on for the next two podcasts. So, Abigail, I am going to give you the honor of introducing this wonderful guest.
That's great. That way I don't have to wrestle the microphone from you to do it. Speaking of battle, we have with us someone that will give you the tools to engage in the battle of ideas well. And I'm giddy because I absolutely love it when Christians are able to speak well, clearly, and rationally. And that is what our speaker today, absolutely, this is his gift and this is his area of expertise. We are so grateful to have Mr. Greg Kokol on the podcast with us.
Yeah, yay. Thank you, John.
So Mr. Kokol is a man of many talents, one of which is he is on the Stand to Reason podcast. He is a professor.
He founded the Stand to Reason podcast.
Yes. He is an adjunct professor in Christian apologetics at Biola University. But what I am most interested in is his organization Stand to Reason and his book Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair.
And such an apt title.
It sounds, guys, I promise, it sounds really nerdy. It is fascinating. I'm sorry, Greg. It does. It sounds nerdy, especially when you have young kids and you're just going, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to make dinner. Please don't ask more of me. I promise you guys, this listening to Mr. Kokol, you will get jazzed because it applies to your everyday life immediately. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sorry, Mr. Kokol, welcome to the show as I am rambling. Just so excited to have you here today.
No, it's fun to talk to a giddy person. ladies, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. Thanks so much for that introduction.
Very good. Well, in your book, Relativism, which I love this title, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair, how apropos. We just loved your concept, and this is what's wrong with really everything. And with relativism, there is no truth, or there is your truth, there is my truth. We would love to get into the intellectual reasons as to why this doesn't actually work. I mean, it's really, and this has been going on now for a number of years, and clearly you've been addressing it for a number of years. Stand to Reason 1993 is when it was founded, which is like 30 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so
that's
good
right.
for you for being on the front end of this. And the fact that you were on Focus on the Family, James Dobson was on the front end of a lot of these things, these issues too. In fact, a lot of his predictions have come to pass. And and so, you know, this idea of relativism, you know, it sounds good when you hear, well, you know, that might be your truth, but that's not my truth. Or, you know, there's really no absolute truth. All those things can sound kind of romantic. And
yeah, they do.
You know, and yet there's The real problem is that that means your feet are really planted in midair. So why don't you talk about why that is?
Okay. The reason that this is attractive is because it just sounds so tolerant.
Yes.
It sounds so polite. It sounds so accepting. You have your truth. You're welcome to it. Good for you. I have my truth. I'm welcome to it. We don't argue. And I think this is part of what's going on there. And plus, there is a tremendous emphasis on the individual here, which is also appealing to people. It's all about me. Okay, and think of the slogans that are popular nowadays. The most probably revealing slogan is "You do you."
Yes, so, yes.
Two pronouns and a verb. You know, it's all about you. It's so self-reflective. Okay, now of course this isn't new, and I was a student of the 50s and 60s, and so when I was in high school and in college in the 60s, we just had different language. Do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. Whatever turns you on. And this is when, in a popular way, this whole notion began to take root in culture, okay, in the 60s. But the prophet has said, if you sow to the wind, you reap to the whirlwind. And we are now reaping the whirlwind now 50 years later. And all of this, what sounded so great so many years ago, has really devastated our culture. We are not able to think in a morally meaningful way anymore. Some people talk about having a broken moral compass. Well, relativism breaks the compass. Well, actually, what it does is it takes the compass away.
Right.
If a compass is meant, think about compass. This is actually a good illustration now I think about it. A compass is meant to tell you where you are with the help of a map. You use the map and a compass to tell you where you are on the earth. Okay, what is your accurate location on the earth? So here, notice with a compass, we're talking about getting information about the real world.
Yeah, and it's absolute.
Yes,
you are here.
One way of putting
you are
it.
Not
it's
here.
Absolute, or I think sometimes the word absolute can be misunderstood. I prefer the word objective. Okay. In other words, it's a fact about the world.
Yep.
Okay, when we talk about truth, we are just talking about facts about the world. Mm-hmm. Is it true that Mr. Kokel's on this podcast with Rebecca and Abigail?
Yes.
Well, if I am, then it is true. And if I'm not, then it isn't true. Okay? I mean, that's so simple, it almost goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole discussion about relativism, whether it's relativism regarding morality, which is what the book that you cited is mostly about, or broader issues of truth, relativism is a way of understanding what we mean by the word truth. Okay, so we're just going to zero in on meanings here. What are we talking about here? Okay, relativism is a way of characterizing what the word truth actually means. And to a relativist, the word truth means something that I believe or feel or like or prefer on the inside. All right. Now, that's different than we normally talk about it. And actually, the way I was just referring to it a few moments ago with the compass or the question about, is it true that I'm having this conversation with Rebecca and Abigail? Because in those cases, I'm talking about something that's going on the outside of me in the world, so to speak. But the way relativists talk, they are not talking about what's going on the outside. They are talking about what's going on the inside, their feelings, their beliefs, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I call this the inside-outside distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've really worked at trying to make clear the distinction between relativism and objectivism, and there's lots of ways to do it, and sometimes it's a little tricky for people to get their mind around it, but this to me is the simplest way of putting it. If you think that truth is on the inside, then you're a relativist.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that truth is a word that deals with something on the outside, then you're an objectivist, or you could say absolute if you like.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to a relativist, all they have to do is believe something, and it's true for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to religion, it applies to morality, and more it's encompassing virtually everything. And this is why people say there is no truth. And what they mean by that is there's no truth outside that you can know. You can't, there's no truth about God. There is no truth about morality. There is no truth about a whole host of things because you can't know what's outside of you. You can only know what's inside of you. And that's why we use the language true for me or true for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, okay, you with me so far?
Yep. Yes. Yep. It makes sense.
Okay. So let me just focus in now on the idea of relativism for morality. And this is expressed when someone says, well, look at abortion. There's no right or wrong about abortion. If you don't like abortion, don't have an abortion. But I don't have that concern about abortion. I think abortion is okay. So abortion is true for me. Abortion is not true for you. Okay? Now, notice all of this. Let me back up and put it this way. None of this short discussion is about abortion.
Yes.
We're not talking about abortion. We're talking about our feelings, our beliefs, and our convictions. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about whether abortion itself does something that is wrong in itself. Mm-hmm. That's talking like an objectivist.
Yes.
But that's the language of the Bible when it comes to morality.
Mm-hmm.
The issues of truth for the Bible are not what we're feeling, or even our relationship with God, which, as important as that is, most of what the Bible is talking about is not what's true on the inside, what's going on the inside, but really what's out there. Is Jesus the Savior? Did God visit the earth in a person of Jesus of Nazareth? Did he die on a cross as a matter of history? Did he rise from the dead? Was the tomb empty? And what difference does that make? Notice these are all claims about the objective world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you violate God's objective standard, that means you're guilty before God in the real world, and God is going to judge you in the real world unless you receive the gift of forgiveness he offers in the real world. Okay,
mm-hmm.
All of that language is objectivist language. We're talking about truth like it's a fact,
yes,
because that's really what the word truth historically, classically, characteristically meant. We're just talking about facts.
Mm-hmm.
When a person says there is no truth, they're either saying there are no facts, there are just feelings, or they're saying, at least there's no facts in that area of right or wrong, or there are no facts about religion, and there's only feelings that we can depend on. Okay, so no, all I've done is made two points so far, is I've tried to give clarity to what we mean by the word relativism, mm-hmm, when it's applied broadly and when it's applied to the issue of what's right and wrong. Truth is up to you. It's up to the subject. Now, here the subject is the individual person. That's why it's also called subjectivism. But relativism is when the truth is up to the individual, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Objectivism is when the truth is tied to the way the world is outside of you, not to what your beliefs are on the inside of you,
mm-hmm,
okay? And I've also made a second point, and the second point is that biblically, truth is on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the biblical view. Mm-hmm. What is reality actually like? And so as Christians, when we make our case, and now here's a practical application of, you can see how these two different views cast themselves out in practice. When we go to tell people about Jesus, we are not telling them that he's part of our club, and if you join our club, maybe you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be fun for you. Maybe it'll be good for you. We're not asking that kind of thing. What we're doing is the same thing Jesus did, and we're saying, this is the way the world is. You are a certain way. You need help. It's almost like going to a doctor who says, you've got cancer.
Yes.
And if you don't attend to the cancer, you're going to die in a month. And there is a solution to the cancer, and here it is. And if you don't take it, you're a goner. Okay? And the doctor isn't going to say, let me back up. If the patient said to the doctor, well, that's not true for me, I don't believe that. I don't like that. I prefer not to have cancer. That's not my thing or whatever. Well, you're chuckling, right? Because that would be foolish. But this is the way people deal with religion nowadays, and it's the way they deal with morality. Okay? Mm-hmm. I want to give you another example about in culture how this is so dangerous. All right? So 2 years or 3 years ago, Oprah Winfrey famously stood before the Oscar crowd, and she said something akin to live your truth. Mm-hmm. You live your truth. Don't let other people tell you how to live. Live your own truth, okay? Now, of course, this stimulated a thunderous applause from the people in the audience, and they were on their feet, and some people were weeping because this is so profound. But what is Oprah Winfrey doing? She is advancing relativism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I want you to think about her saying, live your own truth and, be true to yourself and all of that stuff. And everybody at the Oscars, applauding. Now I want you to think, a couple of years before that, when Harvey Weinstein, the producer, director, whatever, big movie mm-hmm. mogul, was being hammered by everybody in the hashtag #MeToo movement for abusing actresses, on the casting couch and taking advantage of them sexually because he had power, okay? Mm-hmm. And then all these people are coming forward. That was the same group.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
But wait a minute.
Why can't we say
Harvey Weinstein was doing what Oprah Winfrey said he should do.
Yes.
He was following his truth.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the complaint about Harvey Weinstein? Well, obviously, Harvey Weinstein was wrong. But you can't say he was wrong if you're a relativist.
Right.
All you could say is, well, that's not my truth. But of course, everybody knew this guy was a cad. And this just goes to show how, on the one hand, Oprah Winfrey's advice is not good advice,
mm-hmm.
all right? Because if everybody followed it, you'd have to applaud the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, okay? Mm-hmm. And what it does is gives liberty to them. It also shows that even though Oprah's statement was so popular and everybody thought it was great, they don't really believe it.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. There's a real dichotomy and an inconsistency in their willingness to apply it. And it seems that when it's a narrative that fits their narrative, which is that, sexual abuse of women is wrong, they're going to accept that. However, now mm-hmm. it seems like even that is fading somewhat from public view, because we used to all agree that childhood, not pornography. What am I trying to say? Sex with children.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. What is the word?
Pedophilia.
Pedophilia. Yeah. That is a word.
I'm so glad we got to repeat that word several times.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't get it off my tongue.
It happens several times. No worries.
But that was a universal wrong for so long. And now, recently, we're seeing more softening towards this.
Yeah. Yes, it was universally mm-hmm. recognized as wrong. And now, this is the corrosive influence of relativism.
Right.
Is the more people champion do your own thing, especially sexually, since they don't want anybody telling them that their sexual liberties might be questionable, then they have a hard time saying that anybody else's sexual liberties are questionable. Mm-hmm. And that's the erosion.
Yeah.
And we do see this in the area of pedophilia right now. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to something more forcible, like rape or the Harvey Weinstein variety, people are still going to put their foot down. But you can see the erosion. And this erosion has been happening for many, many, many mm-hmm. years.
And I would quibble to say that people will still put their foot down about the last bits, as we've all seen after October 7th and learning about all of the atrocities happening in Israel. I've been shocked at the number mm-hmm. of people who at least are willing to say, well, They were colonizers, mm-hmm. and so they deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm shocked
yeah.
by that too.
So you got mm-hmm. The immediate response after October 7th was, in a certain sense, their we'll just call them their moral common sense was coming right to the surface. And as Francis Schaeffer said, look at human beings are made in the image of God, and they have to live in the world that God made. And so consequently, a lot of their reactions, their spontaneous responses, are going to reflect the truth. And that's what we saw on October 7th. People countenanced this unbelievable barbarism by Hamas, and they said, OMG, how can we possibly approve of this? As much as we might dislike Zionism, this is not conscionable, right? That's October 7th. 3 months later, those same people's tune has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show how vulnerable people are to public influence and their, again, their moral compass being affected by other kinds of pressures and other kinds mm-hmm. of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great illustration that you brought mm-hmm. up. So, but this is what you get with relativism. You have the inability, really, to be able to make straightforward claims, moral claims, about obvious examples of evil.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what your organization Stand to Reason, and I haven't brought up to our listeners, it would be really useful for them. So Mr. Kokol has an organization. It's online. If you Google standtoreason.org, I will tell you, I have spent quite a bit of time on his website. If you go under training, if you really want to, and here's what I loved about this is I have 4 children and mm-hmm. you know, I work and my husband is working and we're all just trying to get through the day as best we can and do good things. And I went into that. I all you have to do, it's free. Everyone, you can sign up and it is free. And I was able to go in and listen to your lectures on relativism. But what I was astonished by is each of the lectures is less than 10 minutes. But then the best part is there's a quiz, guys. So you have to answer questions. And the first time, I was so mad. First time I got 62%. And I just was furious and went, oh, man. And so I just restarted it again and went, oh, man, gosh darn it. Johnson's, we don't get 62%. So, but so for all of you busy parents, I think what I desperately want us to understand is we have really been conditioned to back away from making objective moral statements. I think that even the best of us being in this culture, it feels so foreign now. Even those of us who are clear thinking and trying to speak truth in love, it feels foreign to do so. And what I really appreciate about your lectures that you have, again, for free, that are short, they're very doable in little time segments, is I left going, I understand this better now. I think mm-hmm. I at least made progress in it being able to hopefully communicate truth, objective truth, in love, mm-hmm. should that conversation come my way.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to understand that.
I think I'm speaking. This is Abigail speaking,
yes.
Right? Just now. Yeah. Okay. Good. I thought so. But you put your finger on a couple of things really important. First, the way we communicate, teach, and stand to reason is we're really in favor of like mastery learning. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get 62%. No worries. You're the only one who knows that. I don't know that. You go back and you start over, and then you get 80%. Then you get 100%. Once you get 100%, you got it. Then you move on to the next thing. So you don't have to move forward until you get everything in the first few steps right, and then you can move at your own speed. So it's very, very user-friendly that
yes.
way, but everybody gets to learn it, right?
Yes.
That's a big part of our training technique and value system. But something else you mentioned that it bears saying more about, and that is the power of a corrosive culture to begin to form our minds and our ideas and the way we think and talk, and we don't even realize how much it's happening. Okay. So I'll give you an illustration. I have a 16-year-old daughter. She just passed her driver's test today.
God bless you. Good luck.
Good luck, right. But my view is, look, okay, now you got to buy insurance. And no ticky, no washy, right? You pay for insurance while you don't drive, right? So that's part of her responsibility now as a young adult. But we were talking not too long ago about something, and she disagreed with it, okay? And she said to me, hey, no hate. Hey, no hate.
Oh, I wonder where she heard that.
I said, honey, I don't want you to ever say that again. And I want to tell you why. This is language from the culture that says that if you disagree with somebody's view, then you are hating them.
Yes.
Yep.
And I don't want you to buy that idea. Yep. Okay. But wait a minute. My daughter she went to a classical Christian grade school, and now she's in high school. She's at a Christian high school. And she goes to a youth group every Sunday night. And here she's telling me, hey, no hate. Where did that come from? She absorbed it like a sponge from the culture. Now, yes. It isn't actually her view. She was kind of kidding with me a little bit. But why does it come out so spontaneously? I was telling the story to a local pastor just this morning at breakfast, and he said, my daughter did the same thing to me.
Oh, my goodness.
What it shows, though, ladies, it shows how corrosive, how aggressive, how subtle the culture can be to form our ideas about what is true and right and good and beautiful, you know, and without even us knowing it. Mm-hmm. And this is why we need to be more vigilant than ever. This is why courses like what we teach and what at Stand to Reason, STR.org, and what you're doing with your school, your classical school there, and what we're talking about now is so important, because it causes us to, let's pause for a minute, let's reflect on what the truth is. And now when I say the word truth, we do bandy that around a lot but as Christians, because we're referring to God's truth and God's word and all that, but it cannot start sounding a little religious to us. So I wrote a book, and maybe you are familiar with it, but I called it The Story of Reality. Mm-hmm. How the world began, how it ends, and everything important that happens in between. And it's about Christianity. But notice how I'm characterizing it in my title. This is a story. It is a story, but it's a true story. It doesn't start once upon a time. It is the true story. It's an accounting of the way the world actually is. And what I want to invest, not just in my own daughters, but in everybody who has any contact with anything I'm doing, is that what we're telling people is the truth about the way the world actually is. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's like gravity. If you don't believe in gravity, you're not going to float away. It's part of the way, right? It's part of the way the world is. And when we talk about Christianity and the details of Christianity, we are not talking about some fantasy or myth or anything like that. We're talking about the way the world actually is. And, of course, that's a claim we have to defend.
Yep,
and that's what apologetics are for.
Yep.
We give our reasons.
And on that note, we are at the end of our first podcast here with Greg Kokel, and founder of Stand to Reason. And we are so excited to be able to have this conversation with you, Greg. And we will continue this in the next podcast, because you are on to some very important details here. And I would encourage our listeners to go to his website, Stand to Reason. You can also watch his show, take his classes, which is stu.org. And otherwise, you can listen to this podcast and any other podcast at Spotify, iTunes, and any other places where you get your podcasts.
We will see you soon. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.